Peace be with you. This is a Word on the Word, recorded live at St. Gregory the Great, the Diocese of Bridgeport, Connecticut, USA, for Palm Sunday of the Lord's Passion, 2007. Our pastor is Father Angelo Arando. I'm Gregory Wensek. This week, music from Citizen Six at music.podshow.com. In place of the homily, a trip to the Vatican, news from St. Gregory the Great and the Vatican, plus the Crossroads message. Jesus shows us how much he truly loves us. And there's a message from Pope Benedict for the Holy Week. Please pray for Marion R., Arthur B., Edmund S., victims of the Iraqi conflict, victims of terrorists, and all the sick and deceased members of the parish. The readings for this week are from the prophet Isaiah, the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians, plus the Gospel and the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. To hear them, click on our link at awordontheword.blogspot.com. But now, let's travel to St. Peter's Square, courtesy of Vatican Radio.
It was a magnificent day in Rome this Palm Sunday. The sky was a clear, bright blue, and the pilgrim faithful gathered in their scores of thousands waved their palms and olive branches as they bathed in sunlight. The cobbled square was dug up before the obelisk in the center, and an olive tree was planted. Deacons, priests, and bishops in solemn procession went before the Holy Father, who blessed the palms and olives of the people, saying, "We are as Jerusalem's citizens of old, who greet their Lord and King."
Ci associamo alla folla dei discepoli che in gioia festosa accompagnano il Signore nel suo ingresso in Gerusalemme.
The Pope called the procession an expression of joy because we can know Christ, because he allows us to be his friends and gives us the key to life.
Anche noi abbiamo visto e vediamo tuttora I prodigi di Cristo.
The Pope added, "Yes, we have seen and still see the wonders of Christ, how he leads men and women to give up the comfort of their own lives and put themselves completely at the service of those who are suffering, how he gives men and women the courage to oppose violence and lies and make room in the world for truth, how he in secret leads men and women to do good for others, to seek reconciliation where there was hate, to make peace where there was conflict.
A suscitare la riconciliazione dove c'era l'odio."
Pope Benedict continued the tradition started by John Paul II and dedicated Palm Sunday to the young who were out in force in the square. The Pope urged young people to live pure, innocent lives.
Mani innocenti sono mani che non vengono usate.
The Holy Father said, to be in the presence of God, we need innocent hands and pure hearts. Pope Benedict said, innocent hands are hands that are not used for acts of violence. They are hands that are not sullied by corruption and bribes. Pope Benedict said, our hearts are pure when they are not stained by lies and hypocrisy. A heart is pure when it is estranged from the intoxication of pleasure. A heart for whom love is true and not just the passion of a moment. The Holy Father said, with the cross, Christ burst open the door to God, the door between God and humanity.
Ora essa è aperta.
Now the door is open. But also from the other side, our Lord is knocking with his cross. He is knocking on the world's door, on the door to our hearts, which all too often remain too closed to God. In an appeal to all those who in the world are indifferent to God, Pope Benedict said, Christ has this to say.
Guarda a me.
If the proof that God gives you of his existence in creation fails to open you to him, if God's word and the church's message leave you indifferent, then look at me, at the God who made himself flesh to suffer for you. with you. See that I suffer for your love, and open yourself to me and God the Father. I'm Chris Alteri.
From Vatican Radio, that was Chris Alteri. This is Holy Week. Take a look in the bulletin in your parish to find out when the Holy Week services are being held. For St. Gregory the Great, click on the link on our site, awordontheword.blogspot.com. There's a link to the Diocese of Bridgeport there as well. If you're from another church, check your local listings. And note, many parish offices will be closed Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Monday. Many thanks to the volunteers who prepared and completed the necessary but laborious task of the parish Easter mailings last week. Cora A., Tori A., Nick C., Jonathan D., Olivia D., Rachel D., Stephanie D., Alex F., Megan H., Allison I., Richard M., Devin N., Stephanie S., Nicole S., and Justin W. We're grateful for your effort and time commitment. Thank you so much. Sponsored by the Diocese of Bridgeport, you can know God's love again. Are you someone who regrets having an abortion and believes that you're not welcome in the church anymore? Do you feel the pain of your decision and long to feel the Lord's love and mercy once again? If so, then a Rachel's Vineyard retreat can restore you and help you feel the loving touch of our Lord. This retreat will be held from 7 p.m. Friday, April 13th through 4 p.m. on Sunday, April 15th in a private, small, and confidential setting. For more details, visit rachelsvineyardbridgeport.com. Find the link at our website, awordontheword.blogspot.com. All contacts are kept in the strictest confidence. Following in the footsteps of the Vatican and St. Gregory the Great Parish, Bishop Laurie has embarked this week onto the World Wide Web. Find his entry at bishoplaurieblog.org. As he says in his first entry, Pope Benedict has urged that we must use the modern methods of making ourselves be heard in a reasonable way, or better yet, of making the voice of the Lord accessible and comprehensible. So good luck, Bishop Laurie, as we travel this road together. Find a link to the Bishop's blog from our blog, awordontheword.blogspot.com. And now, here's a word from Vatican Radio.
Turning now to Vatican News, true Christian faith is taught by the bishops of the Church, in particular the Bishop of Rome, in short, the Pope. And understanding faith is not just for intellectuals, but for everyone from every walk of life. That was Pope Benedict XVI's message to the thousands of visitors and pilgrims to St. Peter's Square this Wednesday for his open-air weekly general audience. Philippa Hitchin reports.
Continuing his catechesis on the Church Fathers, Pope Benedict turned to St. Irenaeus of Lyon, a great theologian and bishop from the late 2nd century.
In his writings, Irenaeus clearly sets forth the contents of the apostolic faith and appeals to the Church's living tradition in order to defend that faith from false teachings. He thus emphasizes the regula fides, the rule of faith, contained in the Apostles' Creed and in the Gospels proclaimed by the Church's bishops.
Pope Benedict said the gospel that Irenaeus preached was the gospel preached by his teacher, Polycarp, who in turn received it from the Apostle John in an unbroken line of succession going back to Christ himself.
Irenaeus also writes of the unique authority of the Church of Rome as founded on the apostles. The zealous pastor illustrates for us three important characteristics of the apostolic tradition. It is public because it is available to all through the teaching of the bishops. It is one because its content remains the same despite the variety of languages and cultures. And it is pneumatic because through it the Holy Spirit continues to enliven and renew the Church even today.
As we speak, Pope Benedict XVI is presiding over a penitential service for the youth of the Rome Diocese, ahead of this weekend's Diocesan World Youth Day events, which coincide with the beginning of Holy Week. Thousands of young people are gathered in St. Peter's Basilica this evening, and thousands more are following via closed-circuit television from the Paul VI Hall. We take you live now to St. Peter's Basilica. Well, also in preparation for World Youth Day, the 9th International Youth Forum is currently underway in the hill town of Rocca di Papa, just south of Rome. The event is organised by the Pontifical Council for the Laity, drawing together 300 people from over 90 countries. Chris Altieri reports.
Prefect of the Congregation for the Evangelization of Peoples, Cardinal Ivan Dias, marked the second day of the forum by celebrating Mass on Thursday in the Pontifical Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls. In his homily, Cardinal Dias urged young men and women to look to the figure of St. Paul for inspiration on how to live their faith in today's secular world. Cardinal Dias said in his writings, "The saint advises us to live a life of austerity and self-discipline, and recommends us to be truthful, righteous, peace-loving, and full of faith." The young people have been meeting over the past 2 days south of Rome to discuss the difficulties faced by many teenagers and young adults in living out this advice, particularly in the world of work. Archbishop Stanislaw Rilko is president of the Vatican's Council for the Laity. He points to the theme of this ninth encounter, witnessing Christ in the world of work. He said, "Work is an issue of essential importance in the lives of young people today. Thus, the forum has invited experts in the field to reflect upon the changing global jobs market and how young men and women can best respond to its challenges." The Archbishop said young people must never cease to search for a deeper and more beneficial meaning in their chosen professions. He said work may take up much of our day-to-day life, but it must not become all-consuming. It must also offer the opportunity for personal growth and at the same time be of benefit to the wider community. The forum draws to a close on Saturday, just ahead of Diocesan World Youth Day celebrations, which traditionally are held on Palm Sunday in dioceses across the world. I'm Chris Altieri.
The Holy Week liturgy is filled with the universal symbols of food, drink, life, death, water, and light. Father Sean Collins, Secretary General of the Order of Friars Minor and an eminent liturgist, speaks to Sister Janet Ferns of the way in which Holy Week brings us into the reality of our need for God through the ordinary symbols that are part of our daily human existence.
Because the only way in which we can have access to any reality is through our senses. And it's the procedures we need and we use to survive, to live day by day, that are significant for our lives, and that we notice when they're not there. When we don't have food, then we feel hunger, and hunger is a sacrament of food in a way. It's the absence of food, and so fasting, for example, is a way of realizing that there is a fullness that at the moment I don't possess, and that I yearn for it automatically. I don't have to make intellectual decisions about it. I feel it. It's in my stomach. Just the same as light and darkness. They're natural. We're equipped to want one and to avoid the other as much as possible. So the Church doesn't actually do a whole series of special intellectual exercises in order to work out for us to experience the reality of God and how to relate to each other. We follow on the basis of the realities that we have.
This is Sister Janet Ferns of Vatican Radio.
And finally, this week marks the 40th anniversary of Pope Paul VI's encyclical Populorum Progressio, or On the Development of Peoples. It was published at Easter in 1967. Development agencies across the world are now marking this anniversary. Archbishop Ignatius Aya Kagama, head of the Diocese of Jos in northern Nigeria, is promoting the British Catholic aid agency CAFOD's Live Simply campaign, which highlights the way each one of us can do something to further the goals of justice, equality, and peace. He spoke to my colleague, Philippa Hitchin.
It's meant to be a reminder to wealthier nations to be conscious of the needs of others who are not equally blessed materially, the need for mutual solidarity, for social justice and universal charity. So we continue to tell people as individuals to live simply. Then this will extend to the families, to the schools, and perhaps to government. And when we begin to be conscious of the needs of others, and we try to bridge the gap between the rich and the poor, I think the world would be certainly a better place. There will be less crisis, there will be less violence, and we will all be happy and living together as God's children.
Certainly there is a much greater awareness today, isn't there, about the needs of the continent of Africa. There are many projects, many government goals have been set up to try and to deliver the kind of aid that will help African countries get back on their feet again. And yet somehow this awareness, it seems, doesn't always translate into a real improvement in the lives of people in those countries.
Yeah, a lot is said to be given by foreign governments and international agencies for the alleviation of poverty in Africa. But I'm afraid to say that sometimes these funds are just given without taking care to monitor what the funds are being used for.
And find Jesus humbling himself out of love for us. He did not shield his face from the buffets and spitting, but offered his life on the cross. He relied on his Father's love. So we ask adults and teens, when have I betrayed the confidence of another, as Peter did when he denied Jesus? What can I do about this? And children, how and when can I share my love for each member of my family this week? Today begins Holy Week, the week that has as its purpose the remembrance of Christ's Passion, beginning with his messianic entrance into Jerusalem. In today's Gospel, when Jesus announces that one of his apostles will betray him, it causes great anxiety among them. They ask each other, "Which of us would do this?" We learn about Judas and Peter, and we know that almost all of Jesus' friends betrayed him by abandoning him. Beneath their question is the suspicion that any one of them could fall short and betray Jesus' call to truth and love if the cost is too great. It reminds us that we too can and have betrayed Jesus' mission of love and service. Jesus understands our struggle. Later in the Gospel, he says, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do." We are all called again and again to love and to serve, to fall and to rise in the hope and knowledge of the resurrection. We are called to accept God's love for us, so much that he gave his only Son to save us. The Triduum, which is Latin for 3 days, comes at the end of Holy Week and comprises the 3-day period of prayer leading to the Easter feast, the fulfillment of the entire liturgical year. On Holy Thursday, the Church celebrates the Lord's Supper and the institution of the Eucharist. The custom of foot washing recalls how Jesus washed his disciples' feet at the Last Supper is often observed. Good Friday is the only day of the year on which the Mass is not celebrated. Our liturgy consists of a proclaiming of John's Passion account, intercessions, veneration of the cross, and a communion service. The Easter Vigil liturgy on Holy Saturday ends the Triduum and begins our celebration of the Resurrection. It is at this liturgy that our RCIA candidates enter the fullness of our Church by receiving the sacraments of Baptism, Eucharist, and Confirmation. Our music this week is The Arrival by Citizen Six, who writes score music for movies that do not exist. You can find this music at music.podshow.com and more information about the artist on our website, awordontheword.blogspot.com.
end this week with a wish from Pope Benedict XVI as he spoke to the crowd at the general audience the day before Maundy Thursday last year. This is what I wish all of you from my heart, dear brothers and sisters, hoping that you will prepare with faith and devotion for the imminent Easter celebrations. May you be accompanied by Mary Most Holy, who, after having followed her divine Son in the hour of the Passion and Cross, shared the joy of his resurrection. For the entire message, check the link on our website, awordontheword.blogspot.com. Well, that's A Word on the Word for Palm Sunday of the Lord's Passion 2007. This recording is released through a Creative Commons license. Some rights are reserved. Links to the daily readings, morning and evening prayers, music, and more can be found in our show notes, and we publish those at awordontheword.blogspot.com. That's awordontheword.blogspot.com. Please drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think at awordontheword@gmail.com. Thank you for joining us. A Word on the Word executive producer is Father Angelo Arondo. On behalf of St. Gregory the Great Parish, I am Gregory Wensick. God bless, and peace be with you.